Yes, I mean that's essentially the idea that I was proposing as, you know, feedback on steroids perhaps. Perhaps a high redshift, since the densities are much higher, perhaps that is the relevant mode. Unfortunately, if you calibrate, you do a naive numerical algorithm to try and simulate this thing, and that's what we did with Matthias as well, and calibrate the feedback algorithm in order to match the redshift zero Kenny calculation, then actually that doesn't happen. There's not enough, you know, hump if you are in the feedback to produce this very large scale wind that one would like in order to drive essentially with a non-negligible fraction of variance from the center of gravity. That is not, you know, it's of course model dependent, and I think, you know, it tells us that if we want to get this process work that way, we have to go up into different numerical algorithms for feedback, whether that's feasible or not, and, you know, if that's essentially work in progress.
So. Do you have enough resolution to calculate really the service that?
No, probably not. I mean, again, it will be some kind of complexity, so you may have to tune with some free parameters.
Just
to
follow
on,
how do you
calculate
the
For the second part?
Well, the first part is the Matthiessen et al. Sample. We went actually back to the original ESO Abdullah Fetlock group and collected diameter limited samples there and taken into account incompleteness of this one there. So it's a purely diameter limited file sample and the correct cross selection stuff. So the second part is just in sort of hotspots of three samples. It's my thesis sample, which was a diameter limited sample. Then there's the Philly Upper High End Ursa Major cluster sample, which is a sort of loose cluster with no ellipses at all. And then there is a sample of Eric Bell and collaborators, which is a low surface brightness sample.
So,
we for the galaxy we do have, we can measure what the limits are in diameter compared to the isotropic diameter. And so these upper limits I showed you, basically knowing where your limit is and say, okay, we don't see any galaxies here, we know our limits, so that's the volume we've searched and we don't see anything. So we can't say anything below, say, 25 I magnitude per our second square. We don't know. There might be a huge population there, but we don't know. But the trends definitely don't indicate that there will be a lot of galaxies there. Yes.
Can you look at
our
existing
environment
that we're working
with? We haven't correlated with. No.
I would like to ask the question. The ages that we have are from something, the correlation between age and this,
right?
They're derived from the infrared colors.
All colors. We measure, we're basically fitting spectral energy distributions using all past that we have.
Right, I think that is the according to Kevin model.
Right.
Now, my question is that the most difficult model, so you don't actually measure the ages, you measure the colors and you put it in that way.
Yeah.
My question is, how much is that? What is the model dependent of the infrared age?
Well, there is.
Could I find the reasonable transformation history that would, for example, bear the trend that you see or read the trend?
Well, there are a number of uncertainties. The models itself, you can basically shift these color diagrams, the whole thing back and forth. And so don't pin down the absolute ages. There is absolutely no way we can determine absolute ages. On top of that, it's sort of luminosity weighted ages, so dominated by the young population. So the ages will look much younger than the average mass weight ages. So there's definitely all kinds of uncertainty here. And the only thing I'm claiming is that I can do a relative ranking of ages.
But you would say it's a standard depends.
I don't think so. I mean, we actually can compute the magnetic, content near, within the radio of an optical, within the radio of the optical disk, rather well. And there's still not the question as to what is the actual concentration, what is that actual number? What seems to be actually quite dependent on the particularities of the model take. For example, you change sigma a, that changes quite a bit. You change the shape of the transfer function, that seems to change quite a bit as well. For example, for the work that we did with Matthias about it, we had used an outdated fit to the fallback magnetic spectrum, for example, since it's a fit that DSW had used. And that has much more small scale power than a BBKS kind of fit. And that seems to make quite a big difference. And we're still unsure as to what is the actual result. But well, we are doing now. What we're doing now is surveying all the parameters. And what is the interplay between small-scale power and large-scale power to give you different concentrations? So that's still it's work in progress. But so far, what we've seen is that the halos are actually much more concentrated than what one needs in order to fit that
situation. So even if you're as large as
you still have the same problem. Right.
Well, there is a whole slew of assumptions. I mean, this is the parameterization I showed with the log normal distribution. That's the very simple minded direct way. But the most important one is probably that you keep detailed specific angular momentum if you collect your galaxy, and there's no reason why that should be.
Well, now that the momentum will be that
Well, at the same mass, you have a distribution in spin, right? And that's exactly giving you the distribution of scale size at a given luminosity.
Right.
Okay.
Is this in the wrong direction?
Yeah.
The theory, and
make
the problem work.
So, unless you get away from the distribution,
I didn't ask you answer your question. Are you going to ask your question again?
Thank you.
I think we should leave behind what I think is data that is not reliable for the favorite game, and that is the data on dwarf classification curves. I think it's been over-interpreted, and I think, you know, we have come down to the conclusion that there are no cuspies dark matter tables based on that data, which I think is actually correct. That was what I was trying to conclude. And I think well perhaps labs, you know, I waited this mark. When you go to the cluster, you know, the cluster scale.
The actual
yeah, let me just do for people in the audience who are not aware of this particular point. This is essentially again in industry 3198. And what I'm doing here is just comparing for a given halo different values of this concentration parameter. I guess just plotting different values of the concentration parameter for an SW like halo. You can see from here rather quickly is that you can derive an upper limit to the concentration. C26, for example, for the particular case, is an upper limit. Because if you put more concentration than that, you overshoot. And you need to leave some room for the variance to contribute something. So this is a very safe upper limit to the concentration. You can do this for all galaxies. And this is what you find. This is data from Rob Swatters again. And this is the GDO154 point that I was talking about. This is the lambda CDM prediction that we did in our NSW original paper. Unfortunately, we don't have such low dark matter halos actually simulated. You see, this is where GDO154, this is not an upper limit, GDO154, this is the fit that I showed you. So for a lambda CDM model, it seems that it actually works quite well. And when you remove all the low surface finance upper limits that I had tried in my earlier paper, and you take into account, you know, this engineering correction, all these points move up, and essentially it's very hard to make a case, not even that standard CDM is ruled out from this particular case.
Hold on.
The point about the clusters, looking in detail at what they actually did is you have a 400 parameter model to actually fit the observation. And one of the parameters is essentially your wasted slope of the central density profile. And it's true, the best fit they have for that 400 parameter model is one where there's a core. Actually, there's a paper by some Brockers students as well, which did the same kind of analysis, identical, exactly the same data with an NSW profile, and actually they get a very reasonable fit. So I'm not completely convinced that that particular cluster is really inconsistent with the cuspid halo. I think it's consistent with the cuspid halo once you consider the machinery that actually have it employed. But if you go through a much simpler analysis, you still can fit the data with the cuspid fragment halo. So again, it's a question of, you know, how strongly should we interpret the data. And I think, you know, although it's very, very interesting and we should definitely, you know, look for more cases like this, I conclude that I see no compelling evidence of non-cuspid cores in the sense of any object of any mass that I have looked at. I'm not really sure. Is your point that since the real profile of a real n-body halo is not exactly NFW but has some kind of deviations, what should we conclude when we go to, what should we apply to the real data when we try to model it? Is that your No, I agree. I mean, I think, but you know, you still can derive, you know, some zeroth order constraints. Like for example, things do converge. I mean, like for example, total mass inside a given radius. You know, those things perhaps focus on the shapes, which are sensitive to this kind of problem. Perhaps they're the wrong way to go. And once you concentrate on things that are better resolved, better constrained, like for example, total mass inside a given radius, or things like that.
I have a question for you.
primary distribution, is there a morphological selection effect on the masses that have to be viral or does it also include the regulars?
It doesn't include the regulars. That will definitely affect the, especially the paint that is going off the stuff. I looked at the fraction of galaxies you would miss is at the most a factor of 2 or 3 of the paint and space. So I'd love to see a reduced speed and of the luminosity factor.
And for Julio, I mean, a lot has been said for forthhand about the community and so forth. And I would agree with you that you cannot collect the data for this particular purpose. Concentration parameters, we want to be extremely simple to the resolution of the data. On the other hand, it's not as easy to get out of it as one might get from looking at the effect. But I'll talk about that tomorrow. So I want to come back to the air question again, which I'm not sure I quite got a number out. What is the lowest concentration parameter that you would be comfortable with?
As I said, there is some uncertainty about the exact prediction. This is what we published in our 96 paper. When we redid higher simulation, higher resolution simulations of this, and unfortunately we used a different transfer function to normalize the model as a DFW fit versus a VBKS fit, we actually got higher concentrations than this. And that was the point that I was alluding to when Hans Walter asked the question. So I think now I am not confident that I know for this particular model what is the actual result. What I do know is that it depends a lot on the details of the transfer function on scales of the kiloparsec or so. But that's something that we have really learned. But you know, we need to really do our homework here, and we will do it, especially in the question of doing it properly.
Well, but even if, you know, aside from the question, there a point when it's just all the weather? 20 is okay, maybe 7 is okay, 4 okay, 2 okay.
Well, you see from here, you know, this is lambda CDM. Even, I mean, I'm just doing, you know, eye by eye kind of things here. I think if you conclude that if you have reliable, strong evidence that the concentrations are of many, many systems, perhaps not just a single one, are below 3 or perhaps even 4, then I think you're really in trouble. But this is the data set that is, you know, I consider the better one for this particular purpose, and I don't see evidence of that in this particular data set. That doesn't mean that in other counties we won't, not going to find a problem, but at this particular point, I'm not convinced that it's a significant problem, if this NFW prediction is correct. We can't hear you, Ben, so I have said this now three times, okay? This is the prediction. This is the prediction from our NFW 96-97 paper. When we did higher resolution simulations with a different transfer function that had more power on small scales, we got more concentrated payloads. Now, we have some reason to believe that that old transfer function is not the correct one. Right? It has more celestial power than the true fallback transfer function, how you believe. And as I said, we need to understand this properly, and I don't know the true answer. It may very well be that this lambda CDM, which was done with the BBKS transfer function, is actually the correct one. I guess.
Because can you also use this primary normalization sigma eight for transfer?
Also, we use 1.2 for the normalization sigma eight when, you know, the COBE normalized, how you believe, is 0.9. We use H0 70, where H0 is 6.5, and all those things change this particular point. Well, I think that's an incorrect conclusion, right? And I can show you simulations which we truncated power, and you do get a significant change. So it's a completely, you know, you use one simulation for that particular case, I'm sure it's true, but for the general case, that's incorrect. Changing the amount of low, of small scale power.
Okay, that's what you think.
Actually, the shape doesn't change too much. You can always fit something like an epoxy to all of them. Yes, it's a concentration. It's how much mass you have near the center that comes down.
The general trend is that hydrogen signalization, the hydrogen concentration. So if you normalize your CDM model to higher people age, you will end up with high concentration. At the same time, allowed limits to be made low, so concentration declines.
I think that's correct. I mean, regarding your point about the data sets and what the actual stuff, there's one general point. And what is that the dynamic range in velocities that these samples cover is actually fairly limited. It's actually 2 or 3, not more. So deriving a slope is actually a very tricky business because a few, you know, very high fast rotators or a few very low rotators including the sample may change your slope quite a bit. So if you have such a large weight on the solutions. So I think this is, you know, perhaps incorrect, and I confess to the same sin. First, you just look at the slope. I was just trying to motivate a general point. All those data sets you talked about are actually included in the data that I was trying to compare with. So all those trends that you mentioned are there, and as you see, you know, increases the scatter, increases the better, actually it's like 0 point actually corrections between the two data sets, etc. So they're still there. Anyway, I think. I mean, I was trying to, that's what I was browsing here, I was trying to show you what data actually, if this compilation looks like.
I think light is off. So they either can,
something,
it's like straight line.
But your point is the K band, I fully agree, and especially, you know, taking the work by Stacey and collaborators that extended this to much lower signal velocities, I think we definitely need to revisit the issue, you know, looking at the K band and see, you know, what we can do. But this is all you can see, for example, the kind of mole data is all sort of below this.
Yeah,
lines. But if it does, then we get a different slope. If it only green points, you get a different slope. If you hit only the white points, the Giovanelli points, you get a different one. So, but, you know, all data are, in my mind, consistent with the cloud with the power level 3.